Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Designing products is easier than ever before. Is that a good idea? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is July 3rd, 2013, and we are beginning a two-day technology article titled 3D Software. It begins on page 12 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. I'm glad you're here today to talk about this software that is actually changing the way companies do business as far as designing products, and it's technology that has existed for many years. However, it has been refined, particularly in the last 5 or 10 years, to where it is easier to use and certainly more capable than it was 30 or 40 years ago. And we're going to learn all about this 3D software. And joining me here in the studio for this article are my two panelists, Joanna Wirtz and Josh Mooney. Hi, panelists.
Hi, Bill.
Great to have you here today. Now, Josh, have you were working in some technology companies and some web companies, web design companies. Did you ever see this or work with any 3D software?
I certainly did, yes. We had software designers on staff at my company in the States, and many of them were very familiar with Autodesk and Adobe's software that helps them design. In our case, they were designing trade show booths for the most part.
Oh, okay. That's great. Yeah. Well, that is excellent. Then you could get a visual of what the trade show booth would look like. Not only your trade show booth, what that would look like, but also the surroundings and how it would fit in with the layout and everything, right?
Exactly. Right. You had to think about sight lines mm-hmm. and what people would see from standing in different places within the booth.
Certainly.
And would they be blocked by lighting equipment or posts or speakers, and would they get a good experience from all different parts of the booth?
Certainly what might have happened in the past without such software is people maybe have a good idea for the booth. Oh, let's make this booth. It'll be cool. We'll put this here, that there, structure it this way. And then you get to an exhibition hall and you find out your location and where you got to set this thing up. And it's either it's too big or it's too small or the angles aren't right. And you end up with a thing that's like only 50% effective.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that problem has been solved thanks to 3D software.
All right. That's one great example. So, all right, Joanna. Now, I'm thinking about you as far as a little bit different design.
Yeah, I have some experience in the more graphic side of design, mm-hmm. a little bit more 2D. I'm not familiar with the 3D software or 3D mm-hmm. designing, but I am familiar with digital work and how easy it is to make small adjustments just because it's all on your computer and not laid out on a desk in front of me.
Right. And for our listeners, the significance of that is Joanna works as far as on our editing team for Let's Talk in English. And so part of what you have to do is lay out the articles.
A little bit, yes. The artists are really good at that, but I have to have a critical eye to see, does this work? Does that look okay? What's easiest for the students to look at next? Will it be hard for them to find something?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. So whether it's Let's Talk in English, Studio Classroom, or Advanced, there's a lot of thought that actually goes into the layout of these articles because, one, we want to make it look attractive and appealing. Colorful. We want pictures and graphics. But at the same time, we also have to factor in, okay, how do we make this educational, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, and how do we fit the text in? Even how does this sentence fit in? We've got a dangling word somewhere, and that might even require a whole complete restructuring of a paragraph.
Such a small problem creates such a huge mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really that way.
So whether it's articles, magazines, or if it's exhibition booths, those are just some examples of how different types of 3D software can help you organize things a lot better, a lot quicker than things were done before.
That's right. And I think we could talk about that term 3D doesn't necessarily refer to the end product being 3D, mm-hmm. right? We're not talking about a 3D movie.
Right.
We're talking about the tools that allow you to take something into a third dimension or a multi-dimensional tool to allow you to fly through it or see it from different shapes and angles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, why don't we do this? Let's get into our readings today, and we're going to actually break it up into three sections. So turn to page 12, and our first reading will be the first two paragraphs.
"3D software, the key to designing many of today's consumer products. While developing an electric bicycle for his San Rafael, California company, Marcus Hayes had planned to insert a battery into one of the bike's supporting tubes. But then he did an analysis of his concept with three-dimensional computer-aided design software. The technology revealed another way the bike could be built. We learned that if we changed the shape of the tube slightly, literally by half an inch in one direction, we were able to reduce the cost of our goods by approximately $350,000 in the first 100 bikes," said the 53-year-old founder of Pi Mobility.
"3D software, the key to designing many of today's consumer products." Now, how do we start, Josh?
Well, we're introduced to a company in San Rafael, California that makes electric bikes.
Okay. Where is San Rafael?
That's in Northern California, south of San Francisco.
Okay, good. We always mention places in California, but it's such a big state, and a lot of people don't know, well, is it near San Fran, or is it near L.A. or San Diego, places like that. So, and you, of course, being from, you spent how many years in Orange County?
Orange County, yes. Yep. I was born and raised, so close to 30 years there.
Right there in Los Angeles, the greater Los Angeles area. So who do we meet, Joanna?
Well, we meet Marcus Hayes, who's one of the co-founders of this company, and he's planning to insert a battery into one of the bike-supporting tubes.
Okay. All right. So these people make electric bicycles, and Josh, you had said before the program something that I thought was kind of funny was that electric bicycle is kind of an oxymoron.
Right. I never really understood why someone would want an electric bike. If you're into cycling, it's usually about exercise and mobility. And if you need to get around quickly, well, then get a motorcycle.
Okay. Now, that's Josh Mooney's viewpoint. Joanna Wertz has got something else to say on this. Why would somebody want an electric bicycle?
Well, one of my theories was perhaps one might want a bit of assistance when one is biking up a hill.
Okay.
Or maybe you need some help if your electric bike breaks down and you don't want to be stranded.
Okay. All right. I'm going to offer viewpoint number three on this one, is that there are people that maybe need transportation. They need two wheels for maybe people who are older, maybe people that maybe not be so strong. And, you know, I mean, Josh and I, we're kind of rugged guys. Of course, we like bicycling and the manly thing like that. And,
right.
But there might – I have people right in my neighborhood who are actually senior citizens who ride their bicycle to go get the groceries and run their errands. And so maybe an electric bicycle might be helpful for people like that. Certainly my mother would benefit from an electric bicycle. She's not going to be as excited about me as like pedaling up a hill.
Right.
So – yeah. So there are many reasons that people might want an electric bicycle. And these guys are working on designing this thing. They've got a battery. It's actually it's like a tubular battery. So it's not a square battery. They are putting the tubular battery into the bike's supporting tube. This is the frame of the bicycle. And they're trying to put this battery, they're trying to hide it inside the frame of this bicycle. So they were working on this, but then what?
Well, he did an analysis of his concept. So it sounds like Mr. Hayes is a product designer and the founder of the company. And they looked at the concept on with a three-dimensional computer-aided design software tool. And that's the spelled-out version of our title, 3D or three-dimensional. And computer-aided design just means you are helped by the computer to do your work.
Okay. And then what?
Well, the technology he was using revealed another way that the bike could be built. So there was an alternative, not what he planned, but a better way.
Okay. All right. So they've already got the current design, and they sell several models of bikes. So they have got the current designs in the software. And so then what he can do is he can manipulate the data.
That's
he can
right.
Play around with things, right?
The 3D software allows you to make changes on the computer, not on paper. So then, you know, you're not having to scrap an old concept. You can just resave the file out and see how it would look in a different configuration or a different style. And in this case, they learned if they just made a small change to the tube, they would see a great result.
Okay. And what is that result there in line 10?
Well, they found out that they could reduce the cost of their goods by approximately $350,000. So sounds like maybe they would have to use less material with just a small adjustment, which would save them a lot of money.
Yeah. Literally by half an inch, we see there that they moved it just by half an inch. They were able to save a huge amount of money. I don't know exactly how that would have done that, but it had an impact on their bicycle, and it removed a cost, a huge cost. These bicycles that they're making are very expensive. So if they can save a little bit of money on one bicycle, it can be multiplied into a huge profit. And we see this number here, $350,000 on the first 100 bikes.
That's a huge number. You said the bikes retail for about $5,000?
Yeah, I went to their website, and they're in between $5,000 and $10,000. And so what we're looking at here is now, on a per-bike basis, you're looking at $3,500. But this is the first 100 bikes. As I was reading this, I was running, okay, does the savings go down with the more bikes that he makes? Possibly. So this is a good example, advanced listeners, as you read things, how you have to read into things. You have to read, okay, between the lines. You have to say, okay, what is this guy saying? He's talking about the first 100 bikes. Then you have to ask the question, what about the first 1,000 bikes? And the number might be different.
But it's a relatively new company, and profit, especially early on, is extremely important to profit margins are very important to young companies.
You said an important word there, profit margins, because even though the cost was lowered by $3,500 per bike, right, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to lower the price by that. This does mean he might lower the price by $2,000 to make it competitive, but this is going to mean more profit for them. Sneaky like that, aren't they?
Can't blame him. No.
I would
do it too.
It's efficiency. Yeah, that's his reward for efficiency and good design. So, all right, so you can see how 3D software has helped this one company just on one product save a lot of money. Also, make their bikes very attractive. I recommend that you do go to Google and Google Pi Mobility. Take a look at their bikes. It's a very unique design. You've never seen anything like it as far as an electric bicycle. It's an attractive bike. Okay, let's get into our next reading.
Past and present. In years past, anyone designing a new product had to laboriously draw their idea on paper and then erase their work or start all over on another sheet if their boss or some customer insisted on a last-minute alteration. But that has changed with the advent of three-dimensional computer-aided design software, used for everything from guitars, cars, toys, and furniture to houses, electronic gadgets, candy bars, and clothing. 3D CAD technology allows products to be sketched out and easily modified in stunning displays that can be tilted, spun around, flipped over, and viewed in countless ways.
Okay, we're talking about the present in our first two paragraphs, talking about Pi Mobility, bicycle company, and we met Marcus Hayes, their founder. Now, this section we get into is a little bit of the history of this idea of 3D design.
That's right. It says, in years past, anyone designing a new product had to laboriously draw their idea on old-fashioned paper. Mm-hmm. Oh, the olden days.
Okay. Laboriously.
Means with much effort.
Okay.
A lot of hard work. comes from labor.
We see labor right there in the beginning, right? And so we're talking about the adverb, laboriously. So, all right. Now, everything. Whether it is designing a bicycle, if it was writing a newspaper column, if it was doing anything, used to be done laboriously. So, but now, and they used to have to erase the work. I think of my father was in construction, worked for some construction companies for many years earlier in his career, and he would have rolls and rolls of blueprints. Mm. And they would just have these drawings. It was amazing how many thousands of drawings of buildings. And they still use blueprints, but now they can do much more on a computer.
That's right. Everything's gone digital, and it's really changed the creative process in almost every industry imaginable. We're going to talk about how it's changed the film industry later this month, right, Bill?
Yes, we will talk about that. It has affected the film industry, too, going digital. Now, they have to make a lot of these changes. What are some of the reasons why, given?
Well, it says maybe their boss asked them to make a last-minute change, or perhaps a customer insisted on a last-minute alteration, meaning a small change to something. Usually we use that in terms of clothing. If you need the sleeves shortened or the pants hemmed, we can say you make alterations to clothes.
I know. I used to work in a department when I was in school. In grad school, I worked in a department that did a lot of graphic design, and you'd be surprised at clients. Sometimes they only know what they don't want. They don't know what they want, only what they don't want and what they don't like. So you spend a lot of effort laying something out, and then they look at it and they're like, you know, actually, I don't like that. Can you try it this other way? Unfortunately, that's kind of the nature of the beast. You have to put it, you have to lay it out first and then redo it. But digital technology makes this so much easier.
It's kind of trial and error. Yeah, you have to keep trying. I don't like that. Try something else. I don't like that. Hey, you just said nature of the beast. What are you talking about, a bear or a gorilla? What?
Yes, a giant gorilla, Bigfoot. Yeah. No, the nature of the beast means just the way a negative thing is. Sometimes there's just negative things in life. So we're calling maybe designing something a beast.
The way it is.
This is the way it is.
Okay. All right. And you have to deal with it. You got to figure out how to deal with it. So now this process, what Joanna was describing, is very time consuming. Trial and error. Try this. Try that. You want to please clients. Every client wants their own. Right?
That's
right. And you got to keep trying. Do this, change this. It's time consuming, costly for businesses, right?
Yes.
Those alterations.
Yep. Making changes, putting in front of them revisions, we call them, right? Make another revision, another change to the graphics. Make my logo bigger. You heard that a lot, right, Joanna?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. But that has changed with?
Well, the invention or the advent, the beginning of 3D software. And that has changed the design of everything that we use. And what we haven't talked about yet is the importance of product design. And I know that's been a theme on the advanced program this year, is this idea of we're just surrounded by so many products that are the same intrinsically, inherently, that design has become almost the reason why we love certain things or why we hate certain things.
Right. We actually talked about that in May. Good design is good business. Thomas J. Watson, the former CEO of IBM, came up with that 40 years ago. Of course, Steve Jobs took it to a new level. So that was step one, I think, in all of this. All right, good design is good business. You've got an idea. All right? So, and you think about it, and you can kind of talk about it, but then we're taking this to the next step. We're taking what Steve Jobs was talking about with a phone. Now, let's give it over to Joanna and take this idea and put it into a computer so I can actually see what we are talking about. This is now transitioning then from the idea to the actual, at least, design of the product.
This is a very important step because before this technology, you really have to draw it out on paper. And I would think that some things you only discover when building a prototype. You discover, oh, this doesn't work at all. Mm-hmm. I have to try something new. But with 3D, it changes that.
I imagine those old brick cell phones. Remember those, Bill, from the 80s?
Huge. They're as big as a shoe.
They had to have been designed on paper and then built. And then we all discovered pretty quickly how ugly they were.
Yeah. So the prototypes were built, physical prototypes. But now we can use the 3D for everything from...
From guitars, cars, toys, and furniture to houses, electronic gadgets, candy bars, and clothing.
Mmm, candy bars.
Sounds everything. Everything. I wouldn't think candy bars.
Yeah, I wouldn't think about that. Yeah.
The candy bar I'd like built first so we could test it out, right?
But that's the only way, yes.
All right. And this is, we see then the name of this technology.
Yes, 3D CAD, the acronym in all caps for computer-aided design. And this is just an exploding category of software being used, which started out, I think, mostly in architecture and then has now been moved to the product design world.
Yeah. Okay. So 3D CAD technology allows products to be sketched out and easily modified or changed, played with, manipulated in stunning displays that can be...
Well, tilted, spun around, flipped... Any way you can think of moving it or viewing it, what this brings to mind for me is a Rubik's Cube, how you handle that cool little colored box puzzle thing. You know, you tilt it over, you spin it, you can look at all the sides. You do this exact same thing on a computer.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. It actually takes away some of the earlier steps instead of building that physical prototype that would make stuff out of clay or wood, the prototype. Now they can just do it on a screen, save several steps, a lot of time. Okay, let's do this. Get into our last reading for today.
The pros and cons. As a result, the task of making many products has become more efficient, less expensive, and quicker than ever before, according to those who use the technology. Moreover, they say, because of the software's growing adoption by businesses, store shelves in the future will be filled with an increasing variety of new merchandise. The consumer will benefit definitely from this, predicted Nicholas Tailsfor, who uses the technology at his company, ID3D Design, to help others create items for sale. But the downside, he added, is there are going to be a lot of obsolete products because newer products will come out every 6 months or 3 months.
Okay, we're talking about this 3D design. It's a great idea. It's very helpful. And as we get into this last section, we're going to talk about not only the pros but some of the cons. So we start out by saying, as a result...
Well, the task of making many products has become more efficient, meaning they're doing it faster. And, of course, faster means cheaper, less expensive to get products to market.
I would even think that you need less employees.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You don't need a whole entire design department. You could actually get by with just a few people who are extremely skilled with this software. So that's one area I saw savings in addition to time. So, okay. Now, moreover.
Well, more businesses are adopting this software. So store shelves in the future will be filled with more variety of new merchandise, not just one or two types of the same thing. But if you want, say, a new set of speakers, you have like 20 different options in all shapes and sizes and colors.
And as Josh was mentioning, the time is going to be cut down very short. So designing products, getting them out into the marketplace will be like that.
Right. And product turnover, how long things will stay on the shelves will be so fast. If the blue speakers you talk about aren't selling, well, they're going to swap them out for red ones.
Yeah. Okay. So, and we start off the next paragraph with a quote.
Well, the consumer will benefit definitely from this. Okay. I am a consumer and I can see the benefit because I love choice.
Sure. You have this incredible variety. It's just like it would be a nonstop parade of new products. And they're going to keep putting things out until they find out what actually works with the majority of consumers. So that comes from Nicholas Tailsfor. And who is this guy?
He runs a company called ID3D Design. Mm-hmm. And there are more and more of these product design, industrial design companies that are working with large companies, small companies, startups, even, you know, the guy in his garage, that prototypical inventor, tinkerer guy, mm-hmm. is working with these small companies that are bringing your ideas to life in ways that never could be done as quickly and easily as it can today.
Actually, with some of this software, these design firms actually could be one person shops. Mm-hmm. It could be one guy who just happens to specialize in a certain field, a certain product field. Somebody who's got maybe 10, 20 years experience in a certain consumer product area could then open up his own design firm. Say, I'm specializing in designing bikes.
Or toys.
Or toys or something like that. That's right. All right. But he added something else.
Well, there's a downside, and that is there's going to be a lot of obsolete products. With stuff coming and going on and off the shelves so fast, it could be that within a year, something that was the hot item at the beginning of the year, nobody wants it at the end because there's too many newer and better things out.
Okay. Obsolete.
Just not relevant anymore. And this is certainly something we're seeing in the cell phone, iPad, iPod, iTouch industry. We have literally millions, hundreds of millions of devices in drawers just gathering dust around the world where people have nothing to do with their second, mm-hmm. third generation phones and tablets and devices.
Okay. Stuff sitting in drawers. People can't use it anymore. What are some of the other problems that might arise from this?
Well, from the technological standpoint, I'm thinking of like iPhones. If your iPhone's too old, it won't run the new apps that are out. Mm-hmm. Even if you want to keep your old phone, you can't because none of the technology suits it anymore.
Yeah. Anything else?
Oh, the waste issue. If this stuff's going to end up in our landfills, mm-hmm. What's going to happen with it?
Yeah, that's what I was reading into this when I was looking at this. I thought, wow, that's great. However, we are going to be creating a lot of products, stuff made of plastic and other materials that don't degrade in our environment, and we're going to be producing a lot of this stuff. It's going to sit on shelves for 2 weeks. Companies are going to decide, oh, that's a loser, and then get rid of it. Well, if they keep doing this, we're going to end up with mountains of trash. All because of this quest for the new hot design in a product. So it is a significant con to be considered. And let's do this. We'll talk more about the pros and the cons tomorrow when we have our second day of 3D software. Come on back. We'll see you then. Goodbye.